Spotlight. This is Akashwani. In the program Spotlight, we now bring you a discussion on India's employment growth. The participants are Shishir Sinha, economic analyst, and Sarabjit Kaur, anchor.
Listeners, welcome to yet another edition of Spotlight, wherein today we shall talk about various facets of India's employment growth. India's job market is witnessing a powerful shift. Rising EPFO enrollments are a clear sign of growing formal employment, while women are emerging as a strong driving force across industries. With supportive policies, digital growth, and new opportunities, India is positioning itself as a global employment powerhouse. In today's segment, we'll explore the key trends, opportunities, and challenges shaping this exciting employment story. To understand all this and more, we have in our studios today Mr. Shishir Sinha, economic analyst. Shishir, welcome to the studios of Akashwani.
Thank you very much.
Well, the recent data shows a rise in EPFO enrollments across the country. Shishir, what does this indicate about India's employment trends? How does an increase in EPFO enrollment reflect the formalization of the workforce? And in your view, why is EPFO enrollment considered an important indicator of economic and job growth?
First of all, we need to understand that any unit which is having more than 20 workers, they need to get enrolled mandatorily under EPFO. If some unit has between 10 to 12, it's a voluntary. So this is the system. So does this mean that more and more units are employing more than 20 people? That's not correct. In fact, more and more units which are less than 20, they are also getting enrolled under EPFO. So what is the purpose? Why they are getting enrolled? One of the most important reason is that if you want to avail facilities under various government schemes, then you have to be in a formal sector. First, you have to get registered under any law, say company's law. Then you have to get registered under EPFO or ESI. That will help you to take the benefit of various government incentive. One example I can give you. If you can remember that post-COVID, government announced that we are going to provide you the EPFO contribution. Even in the recent one of the scheme, they said that they are going to provide some EPFO contribution. So companies or the unit or even the tiny units, if they want to take benefit of those scheme, they get enrolled under this thing. What does it mean? It means that we are moving towards formalization. Formalization of economy is very important, because when we say our GDP size is this much, the basic question is that what is the share of formal economy and what is the share of informal economy. Unfortunately, we do not have the scale to measure the size of informal economy in a very structured manner. There are some estimates based on some survey and all those things. But if more and more units, even if it is not required under the law to get enrolled under EPFO, they are coming into the EPFO or ESI, that helps first those units to take benefit of the social scheme, and at the same time it helps the government to assess that what is the size of the economy or what we call as the real economy.
Shishir, it's being said that over the past decade India's employment landscape has evolved. In the present scenario, India is in fact being described as an emerging employment powerhouse. In your view, what does this term mean in the current economic context?
See, when we say that our 65% population is less than the age of 35 years, so most important thing, if you want to take advantage of what we call as a demographic dividend,
that's right.
That will only be possible if those 65% population are being used in a productive manner. So how we can employ them in a productive manner? Either they are in a position to start their own venture or they are in a position to get the job. So when they are in a position to start their business, that is what we call as the startup. And we all have seen that how the startup culture, how the startup ecosystem has grown up. Now we have more than lakh startup which are the registered under DPIIT. So on the one hand, you are in a position to give job to the people. And at the same time, if you are skilled enough, if you are according to the demand of the market, then you are in a position to get the job. So combining these two, one, giving the job, starting your own venture, and at the same time, if you're in a position to take the job, that means you are going to use that 65% population in a productive manner. And that is what is happening. When we talk about the formalization of economy, when we talk about the startup ecosystem, when we talk about various other incentive, when we talk about the Skill India, when we talk about people moving to other parts of the world to provide their skill. So all these things are helping Indian youth especially, to be called as what we call as the employed one. And that is what the number is showing. If you go by the PLFS, Periodic Labor Force Survey, that says the unemployment rate has come down. It is now 5.1% if I go by the August number. How it has happened? Because of all those things.
So taking cue from just what you said, how is the rise of the digital and gig economy changing the nature of employment in India?
Unfortunately, in India, when we talk about the employment or job, people normally consider a government job is a job. When you are talking about post-GST reform, more and more people are buying goods, and those goods are supplied directly to your home. Who are supplying? Those workers, what we call as the gig workers. So if you go by the definition of gig workers, basically they are the temporary workforce. They have been employed for a particular purpose, for a particular time. Maybe after some time, they may not be in the same unit, but they may move to some other unit depending upon their experience. So this gig economy has helped especially the people who are not so what we call as the extraordinarily technically skilled person. So you have a job for somebody who is an extraordinary skilled person, and you also have the job which are not so skilled person or the ordinary, just completed the formal education. He or she has come to town looking for a job. So there the gig economy is helping them. So on the one hand, we have the digital ecosystem, which is providing e-commerce. And now more and more buying is done through the e-commerce. And that e-commerce is successful only when this gig ecosystem is helping them.
Shishir, what is the role that MSMEs play in driving employment growth?
MSMEs, if we take their contribution in GDP, is more than 40%. I will add another later into MSME, that is the T. So we have the micro, we have the small, we have the medium, and we have the tiny units. So all these four letters, tiny, that's the T, then we have the M, then you have the S, and of course the M. So these four terms, tiny, micro, small, and medium, they are providing job opportunities. And the best part is that if you have to start a big industry, it takes time and it takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of capital, it takes a lot of everything. But if you want to start a tiny unit, it doesn't need that much of capital, it doesn't need that much of land, or doesn't need that much of inputs or the credit. So for those units, if you are able to start and if you are able to provide job to say 5 people or 10 people, many of the tiny units are just a small one with a workforce of 15 per people, 10 people, 5 people, but they are providing some kind of contribution in the overall gross value added, which is a part of the GDP. So that is the significance of TMSM, tiny, micro, small, and medium enterprises.
Shishir, with one of the youngest populations in our country, how is India leveraging its demographic dividend to become an employment powerhouse?
The most important program is the government is running is the Skill India. So there has always been a complaint that when you are coming out from university, are you able to meet the requirement of an industry or the what we call as a market?
So are you employable enough even after formal education?
Even the formal education. So that was the big complaint. Now that complaint is being addressed with the help of the Skill India, where the youth are given skill training. And not just that, they are also being given what we call as the upskilling, reskilling. Because if you have come to the market, if you have come to the industry, if you are starting even your own venture, you need to update yourself. Like you are using mobile phone, you are using your computer, you need to update your software. Otherwise, it won't work after some time. So if you want to be in a continuous employment scenario, employability, then there is a need of upskilling and reskilling. So these kind of programs, these kind of schemes are helping the demographic dividend in a big way.
And Shishir, there was a time when India was known, primarily for its agricultural activities. But today, can we say that India has successfully transitioned from an agriculture-based workforce to more diversified employment opportunities?
Even in agriculture, if you go by the allied activities, like cattle farming, if you say by the honey, beekeeping, or if you go for what we call as the mushroom farming. So these are various areas where the allied activities are getting picked up. So it is not just the traditional farming, going to plow a field and going for paddy or wheat or something like that. Today, the diversification is very high. People are going for more and more cash crop. People are going from allied activities. People are going for processed one. Just producing vegetable is not important. Whether that vegetable is reaching to your table is important. And there the role of processed food is very important. Pickle, murabba, all these things are getting expanded in a big way. So agriculture does not just mean the primitive way of farming. We are talking about the activities which are dependent on the agriculture. And that is critical because now the younger generation are not much interested in primitive farming. They want something more. And there, the allied activities are going to help them.
And Shishir, what about government policies? Make in India, Skill India, Startup India. What has been the impact of these schemes on employment generation in the country?
So if I take back to your first question or the second question, one is about the EPFO enrollment and you talked about how we are becoming the employment powerhouse in the world. So these schemes are helping. If you talk about the startup schemes, why somebody is going to start a venture? Until unless he is getting some support from the government. Because starting a venture, that means you are taking a lot of risk. And if you are taking a lot of risk, you also need some kind of assistance, like tax benefit. You don't have to pay income tax, say, for the first 5 years, for the 7 years, for the 10 years. That is going to help you. I will add one more thing, that is Stand-up India. So you talked about the Startup India. Then you take another example of Stand-up India, where female empowerment is or female entrepreneurship is getting promoted, or from the SCST category, entrepreneurship is getting promoted. Then you also have the Mudra scheme. Because you have started your venture, then you need working capital. You need capital to run the business. There the Mudra is going to help you. Then there are a number of schemes under the priority sector lending where you can get the money. So government scheme has a big role to play in promoting entrepreneurship, and entrepreneurship has a big role to play in employment. So all these things are interlinked.
Shishir, you just spoke about women empowerment. So in fact, one of the key pillars for achieving the vision of Vikasit Bharat is ensuring greater women workforce participation. How would you describe the current state of women's participation in India's workforce? And also, if you could comment on what has been the role of schemes like Mission Shakti, Lakhpati Didi in driving the jobs market?
This is one of the examples which we are discussing. 50% of that is being commanded by a women. So that is one example. And if you take the what we call as the 50%, or in Hindi we call it as the Adi Abadi half of the population. So whether you talk about Lakhpati Didi, whether you talk about schemes under, say, agriculture like Drone Didi and these schemes, even in the Drone Didi, what they are doing, they are using drone to provide some support to the agriculture activity. When you talk about Anganwadi, the women workers are providing support to people there in terms of health care, in terms of the societal care. So everywhere we are finding that the female workforce are there to provide support. And at the same time, we are also seeing the entrepreneurship, the growing entrepreneurship. In fact, many examples are there where we have seen that the women entrepreneurship in India has grown up. Some of the companies are being commanded by women. Take the e-commerce website, which is basically devoting on cosmetics, that is run by a female. And then you have another boutique one which is run by another female. So we have number of examples in terms of entrepreneurship where the women entrepreneur have shown that what they are capable. And at the same time, if you go by the periodic labor force survey, we have seen that the share of women in the total workforce has gone up from 30% in the month of June to 32% in the month of August. So that means now the female participation in the formal economy is growing, and that is the most important thing at this moment.
Listeners, as we've heard today, India's employment landscape is undergoing a significant transformation. Rising EPFO enrollments point to a shift towards a more formal and secure workforce, while the growing participation of women is adding new energy and diversity to the job market. Government initiatives, sectoral growth, and digital opportunities are all contributing to India's emergence as a potential employment powerhouse. Shishir, thank you very much for joining us and taking our time to delve on this very pertinent topic of India's employment growth story.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on India's employment growth. The participants were Shishir Sinha, economic analyst, and Sarabjit Kaur, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.